Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Oh, it's my favorite 2 days of the year back to back. The unofficial holidays. May the 4th be with you. And happy Cinco de Mayo to all you out there. Hopefully the line for tacos is not too bad here for you. Considering you're listening to this on a Monday, you know, it's not a Taco Tuesday. So maybe that has, you know, pushed it back a little bit. But man, Josh, do you remember a couple of years back, we were doing SSAC tournament games whenever these two were back to back. And we were doing our dead level best to try to work in anything we could just to keep ourselves entertained. That was a long week.
That was. Yeah, I was thinking about it though. You mentioned Taco Tuesday. So can we still double dip tomorrow? Is the question.
That's a good question. I think there's no bad time for tacos.
Ever.
They have breakfast tacos. Time of day, there's no bad time. And time of week, there's no bad time.
Let me just put this out there, and this is too much information, but I like tacos so much, I will get the microwaved Love's tacos.
Ooh.
I will get the bacon, egg, and cheese. I mean, so that's taking it to a whole different level. If you like tacos that much, that you will get the microwaved ones at Love's, you like tacos. So you don't have to sell me on tacos.
I'm going to extend this conversation just because it interests me. We're going to get to ball. Trust me. There's a whole lot to talk about as we've had SSAC tournaments for both baseball and softball this week. But by the way, to introduce myself, Caleb Hamill, Josh West is to my right. But are you a cilantro and onion corn tortilla type of taco guy? Or are you full-on American, give me the flour tortilla with the taco meat, ground beef, cheddar cheese, and lettuce?
Oh, you're letting me dig my grave, and I'm going to go for it. I'm so bad of an American taco person that I prefer tacos made out of the El Paso kit that we make at home. That's my favorite kind of beef taco. You know, I get the Ortega sauce. I get the shredded cheese or get the block of cheese and shred it up. Get the meat. I'll get the shredded lettuce. I make it at home. I love that every bit as much as anything.
Well, just like Seinfeld said, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that.
right.
But, you know, but if you're going out to Mexico with Clayton and I, you're going to be surrounded by guys eating the street tacos. We're going to get them. We have our places that we go. We like them best. But you're invited next time we go around.
And I need to expand my horizons.
I was going to say, and they're
extremely basic.
They're pretty cheap on the per taco basis. So maybe one of us will, you know, buy an extra one, let you at least try one. You know, if you haven't before, just to give yourself an idea, you can order your plate of whatever you'd like, and then we'll let you sample ours. Because you know, you've had some good experiences with trying things that we like from different restaurants and adopting them as your own.
Yeah, I'm in.
All right. So this is Crusader Talk, and therefore we get to talk about sports going on at William Carey University. Big weeks for both baseball and softball as the conference tournaments happen. For baseball, it was up in Jackson, Tennessee at Rockabilly Stadium, and then softball playing on a multi-field venue out in Decatur, Alabama. And let's just say weather got a hold of both tournaments a little bit. In fact, rained out the baseball tournament an entire day. They did not even play on one of those days. Softball got their tournament started on Thursday, which is a day after baseball. And boy, did they battle trying to get games in. It was a constant flux of whether or not games would get in. They start off the tournament, Josh, with multiple games going on simultaneously. I'll get that word out. So they had fields, I think, 1 and 4, you know, wherever it is at that complex. But once that rain came in, it forced a whole lot of jumbled up mess to where on the final day of the tournament, there was a possibility that one team could play 5 games,
which if they came insane. Out of the loser bracket. That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. And William Carey was not one of those at risk of going for 5 games. They had a max of 4. But with William Carey, I mean, hats off to Coach Fletcher and company with what seems to be their backs against the wall trying to make the NAIA tournament, were able to get 2 walk-off wins. got a walk-off win over Faulkner in the first game, winning 8-7.
And then got that walk-off win over Bruton Parker.
Yeah, and sent themselves into the winner's bracket game with Middle Georgia State. That was the game that happened on the final day of the tournament. Middle Georgia State was able to run Rule Carey in advance to the championship game. Crusaders defeated UT Southern in a run rule and then faced Middle Georgia State again. And, Josh, this is when I was starting to crunch math and I was looking back at the SSAC policies and procedures. Online, the SSAC has it listed the scenarios of where the bids go to. With Abraham Baldwin in the conference now, there are 10 teams. They get two bids. One goes to the regular season winner, which is Middle Georgia State. Then you get to the tournament final, and you're looking, and you're like, okay, Middle Georgia State's in it. William Carey's in it. Therefore, Carey should get that second bid. Well, there's a caveat. And it's not that if Middle Georgia State wins, then the other bid just goes away. It's the fact that we are in a transition year for the SSAC because Abraham Baldwin has not been an NAIA team at least 1 year. And I can't remember how long that probationary period or transition period is. But this year, Abraham Baldwin does not count towards your possible 10. And the reason that matters is in the NAIA, there are automatic bids given to conferences. If you have 10 or more teams, you get two bids. And that's 10 or more teams that play that sport. Obviously, the SSAC has more than 10 teams, but only 10 play softball. But Abraham Baldwin doesn't count towards that count, so there's only 9 as far as the NAIA is concerned, and the only automatic qualifier is the SSAC tournament winner, which, unfortunately for William Carey, ended up being Middle Georgia State in a 1-0 victory in the championship game. Carey never forced the if necessary and played 3 games on the final day and lost 2 of them, both to Middle Georgia State. Those the only 2 losses they took in the tournament. So now we wait. But hey, though softball is waiting, we know the future of William Carey baseball. That's the plus side to look at the other.
We do, yes.
Early in the week, we found out that William Carey baseball was selected as an opening round site. And we can go ahead and break that down a little bit, Josh. Just to run down what those opening round teams are, as I get it back in front of my face, they're alphabetical order, so this is not ranked 1 through 10. Concordia, Nebraska, that's the one kind of middle of the United States hosting site. So Concordia hosts in Lincoln, Nebraska. Cumberland's team that put Carey out last year will host in Williamsburg, Kentucky. Then you got Georgia Gwinnett, team that Carey faced earlier this year with 2 games at Hattiesburg. They're hosting. They've been hosted for several years in a row now. They're also hosting a softball opening round. Lewis Clark State gets an automatic bid to host because they are the World Series host as well. That does not automatically give Lewis Clark State a bid to the World Series, however, just to the opening round now. As we found out last year, they can be left out, and they were back in 2024. All right, so that's 4 down, 6 to go. This one was obvious, LSU Shreveport. Guys, they are 51-0.
Amazing.
Unprecedented start in college baseball. They sweep through the regular season. They sweep through the Red River Athletic Conference tournament. This is unprecedented in college baseball at all levels. No other team has had a start this strong as far as record. And they were slated to play William Carey in a midweek, and that got rained out. So we'll never know if Carey was going to be the spoiler of their perfect season run or not. But that said, they're going to continue on. They'll be the number 1 seed in the Shreveport Regional. And I pity the teams that will have to drive over there and play in Louisiana.
At some point now, is there going to be a production crew that starts following them around a little bit for the 30 for 30? I mean, I feel like this should be getting a little bit more press than it is. I mean, we've talked about it, multiple times. Obviously, NAI Ball's talked about it. But have you run across anybody on any type of a national telecast or broadcast where you just caught a comment about it? It's one of those things that's certainly flying under the radar. We're going to get to the end of this thing, potentially, if this holds up, and people are going to be blown away what they're accomplishing.
Yeah, I mean, for everybody that's going to play them in the postseason, you have to be thinking in the back of their head, they haven't lost a game, much less 2, which is needed to be put out of the national tournament. That's 2 losses in the same round, whether it be the opening round or the World Series in Lewiston. So tough task ahead of whoever they face. Now, granted, if you're looking at strength of schedule and all that, I think we looked at it earlier before we were prepping that they were about 45. To put that in perspective, at the last poll put out, William Carey was 10. Now, that was with Faulkner before they had the forfeits. So that could have some adjustments and all that. But still, just to put it in perspective, that's kind of the breakdown of where Carey is in strength of schedule compared to LSU Shreveport. Just to run through the rest of the hosts, Reinhardt out of Georgia, they'll host in Waleska. Southeastern Florida, very small field, but Lakeland will get the bid there. Southeastern has come to William Carey before as a one seed. Final three, Taylor, Indiana over in Upland. They will host yet again for another year. Visit Kingsport, Tennessee. They have hosted the Appalachian Athletic Conference, I believe it is, tournament up there. I may have that wrong, but more than likely Tennessee Wesleyan going to be the number one seed up there. That is the ninth host, and then the 10th one, William Carey, down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And a lot of the guys will tell you that it was kind of torn between Carey and Loyola as to who was going to get that last bid spot. And the Loyola has gotten the last few wins over William Carey. Crusaders end up getting the host spot. So that's the opening round. Up next, we're going to recap the week with Coach Bobby Hallford. That and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues. Stay with us.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back with you on Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us here on the pod today as we have a full recap of SSAC tournament action between baseball and softball. And we're joined now by Skipper Bobby Hallford of the William Carey Crusader baseball team. And Coach, a long, hard-fought week over there in Jackson, Tennessee. William Carey with a handful of good games, winning their pool. And, man, it was tight there for a moment there. We started looking at all the different tiebreakers that could possibly be done if all of a sudden there were a bunch of 2-1 teams. Luckily, didn't have to use those for either side. Both teams won in true tiebreak fashion on the Loyola and Middle Georgia side, and then William Carey going a perfect 3-0 in theirs. But, Coach, first of all, congratulations on making it to that championship game, though we came up short. But I want to kind of go back to game two to start us off. And you were able to accomplish a feat that has not been done in the state of Mississippi, and that surpassed Ron Polk's career wins record in college baseball. And you get win number 1,374. First of all, did you know that that game had that on the line, or did you just wait until somebody told you eventually this year?
Well, I kind of had an idea because Ben Smith and some of the other people, you could tell they were, preparing for something. So I kind of had an idea. You know, I really did.
You know, we joked earlier this year, like it was trying to be a best kept secret out there. And for a long time, Ben Smith and I were joking and, kind of going back and forth saying, oh man, we're canceling all these midweek games. There goes some of the wins that were going to get it to us. And we were starting to count down the different games after we dropped Georgia Gwinnett. And we started thinking, he's going to do it again to us. He's going to hit a milestone and not be home again. And for anybody out there that's wondering, what am I talking about? Both career win number 1,200, career win number 1,300, and now the win to surpass Ron Polk. None of them happened at Milton Wheeler Field. I think in 1,200, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we had two, maybe three different options to get that win at home, and eventually you got it on the road at like West Alabama or something. 1,300 happened in the World Series, and then this one happened in Jackson.
I think one of them happened against LSU Shreveport over in Vicksburg.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that was 1,200.
Yeah, Connor Adams. Connor Adams was a freshman pitcher, and he won that game over there. So I'm sure that was it because I remember that.
Yeah, that was in my ticket too.
And then I remember 200. was against Troy State at Boardwalk and Baseball down in spring break with Nick Hillman on the mound. That's Dusty Hillman's brother. And that was kind of interesting because he was a young pitcher too. And we faced Joe Necro's son. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, Coach, you received a special word from the skipper who you passed in the rankings of overall collegiate wins. And it was pretty special to get the word straight from him congratulating you.
Well, you know, Ron Polk basically kind of set the standard for all of us when he came to Mississippi State. I think he made the state of Mississippi, you know, stand up and take notice that, that baseball could be what it is today. And I think that he was a very, he was very big with the rest of the coaches and just putting an emphasis all over the state in all the baseball programs. So I really, you know, always looked up to him. And, you know, when we played his teams for years, I always felt like that was one of the best coach team I'd played against. And you better be on your P's and Q's when you played Mississippi State with Ron Polk at the helm.
Hey, hey, Coach, it's Josh West here. Congratulations again on that. And I know from some of the conversations I've had with Ben and others, I know it's certainly something that is a point to try to do whatever we can from public relations standpoint and sports information to continue to let people know at the Hall of Fame that it's time, that it's overdue. Is that some conversations you've had? Do you think a nomination there is coming? Do you think that that is just a matter of time now? Because I know that that's something that is, you know, it gets some people fired up. And so I know you just take it in stride. But
well, you know, I think things like that, you know, I'm not too concerned a lot of times about those types of honors and that type of thing, because it's just, it's what you do, you know, it's just what you do every day. And I think the satisfaction that you get is that if you feel like you've done a pretty good job, then, you know, you feel good about it. I think the honors will come. You know, we lost the game today, and I'm, you know, I feel like, well, there's some things we probably could have done a little different. So, you know, you're only as good as your last game. And I think that so many times that if you do your job and you know, stay the course, then honors take care of themselves.
All right, so let's talk about the games over the past week. You get the three games wins over your pool, finishing off Middle Georgia State to secure your spot in that final. You also take down a couple others en route to that. But, Coach, one thing that was a big question mark going into this tournament and will be into the national tournament as well was starting pitching and just pitching in general for William Carey. And I thought, though Carey gave up five runs early to Middle Georgia State, really stayed with it, and the offense was able to battle back and force that to be a non-issue. Overall, how would you grade the performance?
Well, I think that we've made some strides. You know, we've used two of our relievers to start, and that was the case today with Luke Lissette. He came out and gave up five hits in the first two or three innings, two runs, that type thing. Had a couple of miscues that kind of extended an inning, and we probably should have been out of the first inning. You know, we had a play that we should have made and possibly would have been out. And then later on, there was a ball hit up the middle that he touched his glove. Would have been a double play. It cost us three runs. So all in all, McGee threw really well as a starter, and he'll continue to be that guy. Matthew Davis threw well as a starter, so that's positive. And then we were having to use Luke kind of as you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. And you're asking a lot out of a guy that has logged as many innings as he has. And so, you know, moving forward, hoping to have Shira back next week. And he's coming around a little bit. We didn't want to, you know, he wasn't 100% this week. So we've battled that all year. I mean, we've had guys that have had numerous injuries and that type thing. And so it's just kind of where we are. You know, fortunately, our offense has been really good at times. I thought our top four today didn't play very well, and that was a big difference in the ball game. We had chances all throughout the game to come back. We were down two in the seventh and had a good chance to swing momentum. We never could swing momentum today. We just stayed behind, and but we had those guys out there, and we had the right people up there at the time, and I'm just kind of disappointed in that.
You know, some people have been wondering about this particular player that I'm going to bring up, but you were able to get him back in the lineup for the conference tournament. And I wonder if you really feel like he was a big difference maker, and that's Bridley Thomas.
Well, there's no doubt. He made the all tournament team, him and Eli Collins and Bobby McGee. And he was able to bring us that spark. And we used him in the DH role because we didn't want to push him back after too quick, because physically, you know, he's been out for a long time, and he was having to meet protocol each week, and he got basically released, you know, first of the week. And so we were going to kind of ease him back out there, and he DH'd, hit a home run, hit a triple, brought some energy to the team, which he always will. He always does. And so it was really good to get him back. But he's had a tough go of it. You know, he had a severe concussion when he had the collision with Eli Collins. And then when he was able to come back, was hit with a 93-mile-an-hour fastball in the head. So, I mean, he's battled. And we've had two or three guys like that. And so, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, anytime you have a team, you're going to have injuries. And we've had our share of, especially in the pitching area.
Just in Bradley Thomas fashion, his first plate appearance back from injury was, you guessed it, getting hit by a pitch. No other way.
Yeah,
you
got hit by a pitch.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Well, he got hit today, and they made him. They said he leaned out over, and he didn't get the base. So, but you know, that's part of it. I was, you know, I just don't like the pool play. I think that's, you know, I'm not crazy about it. I mean, we go 3-0 and they go 2-1, and all they have to do is win one game, and they win a tournament championship. And I think that's, I'm just not a fan of it. You know, you needed to have played another game.
All right, 1 minute left, Coach. Big news this week was that William Carey got the opening round secured in Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
Third year in a row for your club. You've already made it to Lewiston 2 years in a row being host. How big is it this third year?
Oh, yeah, it's real big. Anytime you get to host it, you know, an opening round, it's a big plus for you. And of course, we won't know until Wednesday late afternoon as far as, you know, which teams will be selected and which teams will be coming to Hattiesburg. But we're looking forward to it. And hopefully we'll have a chance this week to get some injuries, you know, guys back and get full speed. And looking forward to that. We're going to give them a couple of days off, and then we'll be back at it on Wednesday. And hopefully that, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Shire later on the week, and then he gets an injection, I think, next Monday, his last injection. He's got a bulging disc, and that's what's been, you know, it's been his problem the whole time.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for your time, and appreciate all you do for William Carey, and congratulations yet again on the record.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys and what you do. Thank you so much.
All right, that is Coach Bobby Hall for joining us here on Crusader Talk, as he surpasses Ron Polk in the career wins category for a collegiate coach. Now the top man in the state of Mississippi ever in collegiate baseball as it comes to career wins. That's pretty impressive, Josh.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Put him in the hall. Put him in the Mississippi Hall. That's what I'm lobbying for.
He's got the resume for it. Everybody, rally around him. Let's get him voted in. All right, when we come back, we will recap a little bit more of the week in SSAC tournament play and look ahead to the national tournament. That and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Hey, Bobby, Ron Polk here, waiting to leave the bus to go to the airport. We're outside of Home Depot. If you can, tell me you'd like for me to do it. I said, I'd love to do it. We have more wins than any other collegiate coach in the state of Mississippi. Passing me. I'm proud of you, happy for you. You've done a great job at William Carey. Take care of Eric Ebers for me. And continued success. I hope you coach for another 25 years.
Well, from one legend to another, Coach Ron Polk congratulating Bobby Holmford on surpassing his record of what had been 1,373 career wins. Coach Holmford now with a little bit more than that, now at 1,375 after taking down Middle Georgia State to finish off Pool A in the SSAC tournament. But for anybody out there wondering, I had been able to call a few games with Coach Polk this season for Mississippi State, and we were out on a road trip in Oklahoma, and I told Coach Polk that more than likely Coach Holmford was going to pass him up this year. He just needed 37 wins, and, yeah, he would pass him. And Coach said, yeah, I'd love to do a congratulatory video or message for him. And so we preemptively went ahead and got it recorded, tucked it away to forget about it until the moment happened. And lucky for Coach Holmford and company, it did happen. So Congratulations, Coach Alford, on what an outstanding feat.
Were you just like me and you were doing math when he said, I hope he coaches for another 25 years? were you adding numbers in your
65
head?
65 years of coaching later. And that's just as a head coach. Because, you know, he had a stint as an assistant under John Stevenson. And then also was a women's basketball coach at one point, athletics director for a year. He's done a lot for William Carey.
Yeah, but he's still like jogging around, running around, bouncing all over the place. And I was going, could he still shuffle out there in 25 years?
Just roll him out there in the wheelchair,
yeah,
man.
You know, well, it was the coach. Remember the coach at Rice? What was his name? It eludes me, but he coached for a long time. Yeah. And it was kind of part of his shtick, though. He could move faster than he moved. He intentionally moved slower to allow the bullpen a little extra time and things like that. He was kind of known for his move to the mound to call to the bullpen and things like that. Coach Halford's a long way from that. But, yeah, let's hope there's a lot more years. I love the 25-year comment from Coach Polk.
Well, you know, and he also said take care of Eric Ebers for him. For those that didn't know, Eric Ebers was a pitcher under Coach Polk back in the early 2000s. And so that is where that connection was. And so last time I saw Coach Polk was when State was taking on, oh, my goodness, who was it? It was a weekend series. Nevertheless, I came up there to the booth and said hello. And Coach Polk's first thing was, how's Bobby doing this year? Wasn't asking about the record, but how are they doing right now? And Carey was already a game in against Blue Mountain Christian and had run ruled them there on that Friday night. So that was the good news I was able to give him. But great guy. And I tell you, Polk is one of the most personable people that still keeps up with every single one of his former players. He writes them two letters a year, once or possibly three if they're married, birthday, Christmas, and anniversary if they're married. He will write them a handwritten letter and mail it off and keep tabs on everybody.
Are the handwritten letters, I would have to say, one of the main staples of his legendary status, because those letters have meant so much to so many people, especially if you're on the receiving end of one of those letters?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've kept people tied to both the university and to just him in general for a long time. And it's not just collegiate players that were actually under his tutelage at Mississippi State, Georgia Southern. They also include Cape Cod League guys. Some former coaches he's been with, American team, or Team USA, that's what I was trying to think of. All those guys he still keeps in touch with. And, hey, I don't know how he has time to do anything else. As long as he was in the coaching profession and as many different players as he has been around, and it's still fun, the players currently, because he's still around the program, just hanging out. He's on the athletic department staff. Doesn't draw a check, but he still works for them. But he hangs out with the baseball team, and those guys love him. They always tell him, oh, Coach, get in the stretch line. Come on, be with us. But great guy, and good to see him being a good sport. Because when I asked him about Coach Hall for possibly breaking his record earlier this year, he said he can have it. That was the first reaction was, yeah, he can have it. Very giving guy. Wants success for anybody in baseball. Records are made to be broken.
Yeah. No, it's great. Great. And to hear that, and, you know, we can learn a lot from that, to watch a little less TV, be a little less distracted with these computers in our hands, and maybe sit down and write a couple of more letters. That's something to take away from it.
Coach Polk has a flip phone with nobody's contact stored in his phone. You have to text your name every time you send him a message to let him know who you are. Same thing with phone calls. Be sure you say your name or leave your name and number, old-fashioned voicemail, if you have that. Doesn't have TV. He's never used his oven or microwave in the house. The man's full of money for all the years he's spent coaching, so he's able to eat out all the time. But his source of news is reading the USA Today paper every day that it's delivered. That is his connection, and then anybody else in the hallway is telling him updates.
I love it.
The enigma that is Ron Polk. All right, let's kind of recap in total all the different games that we had for William Carey over the past week. They have a couple scores, sprinkled them in there. But baseball gets their first win of the SSAC tournament on Wednesday. They run rule UT Southern behind a really good performance from Matthew Davis. Crusaders win 15-5. Davis goes 6 2/3, eventually giving way to Mason Smith to get the final out in that one. Smith gave up 6 hits, a total of 5 runs. 3 of them were earned. The 2 unearned runs were halfway his responsibility because it was an error of him throwing the ball to first base. But nevertheless, a guy that came through some hard times during the season, spent about a whole month away from pitching, to come back and throw nearly a complete game for William Carey, pretty spectacular as Crusaders get that key first win in the SSAC tournament.
And did you think Davis looked a lot more like himself in that outing? I thought so.
I thought so too. And obviously the run support helped a lot to get. Now, granted, it was a scoreless game through 2 innings. Then he gives up the 2 spot in the top of the third. But man, Carey was able to mash and get 6 runs in that third inning, put up the crooked number, get a 4 spot in the fifth, one in the sixth, and then finally put it out of reach in the seventh with 4 more runs. UT Southern did get 3 in the top of that inning, but Carey was able to stretch it out, get that run rule victory in 7 to hold back on some of the pitching they had to use. They didn't have to go to Luke Lissette in game 1. They saved him for relief in game 2, which that was against Blue Mountain. Carey wins that one 8-4. Bobby McGee pitches fairly well for the Crusaders in a starting role, which he has not really done much this year. In fact, I have to go back and look at his stats because he may have only done it once or twice coming into the year, or coming into that game, I should say. I'm going to have to find where it is. No, that was his first start. That was his first start this year, yeah. Because he's primarily been a closer-type guy, or at least was slated to be that this year. Started several games last year. But, you know, like Luke Lissette had his first start of the year coming at the end of the year. And ended up being a good win for William Carey against a Blue Mountain Christian team that they lost 2 out of 3 in the regular season. So that was key. That got Carey to 2-0 before they had to face Middle Georgia State. And by the way, I will tip my cap to the SSAC on one thing they modified from year 1 of pool play to year 2, and that's that they shuffled it up to where day 2 mandated that the 1-0 teams play the 0-1 teams. Now, if you're thinking, okay, well, that makes you not know who you're going to face. Well, you're going to face them the next day if you didn't face them day 2. So you're already scouting them. That's a moot point. So in essence, what that did was avoid what happened last year, and that's have a pointless third game of pool play if the pool had already been decided and the tiebreakers had already been favoring one team. It in essence made day 3 matter, and it definitely mattered for both sides. For William Carey, they faced Middle Georgia State, and if Carey loses that game, then they have to watch Blue Mountain Christian take on UT Southern, see how that game shook out, and then there may be a 3-way tie of 2-1 teams. Didn't happen. William Carey was able to sweep through and win 3-0. And with that, Carey gets into the conference tournament championship, automatic bid with that because they made the tournament final. Meanwhile, Loyola and their pool had Abraham Baldwin, Middle Georgia State, AMAC, Thomas, and Mobile. You want to talk about some fun games to watch in that pool?
Those are some crazy scores.
Oh, my goodness.
24-23?
That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. That was, you know, what I like to call sometimes. The Bruton Parker game with William Carey earlier this year falls in the same category. And I use this amusingly. One of the drunkest baseball games I've ever seen. And what I mean by that is, if I were the broadcaster for that one, I don't know how I would have made it through.
No.
I mean, 24-23, that's 47 runs. You had 53, I want to say it was, hits in that one. Pitching was just optional. And
Mobile tied it going into the bottom of the ninth.
Well, Mobile had the ABAC, early lead. Yeah, they had a 12 spot early in the game, if memory serves right.
And then they were trailing late.
Yeah, then Abraham Ball just put up, you know, big inning after big inning and eventually led. Mobile tied it on, you know, some junky type plays in their top of the ninth inning, and then Abraham Alboom was able to walk it off. But that was crazy.
What would you have done if you'd been the broadcaster for a 23-23 extra inning tilt?
Oh. as long as that tournament is. And I'm pretty sure they have the same broadcast crew for all the games.
I wanted to go back to you talking about some of these, you know, Lissette, McGee, some of these different arms that are getting starts late in the season. And that is this obviously not ideal as we wrap this segment, but is there a bit of now mystery surrounding William Carey as to makes them a little bit harder to scout and to know what to expect when you're kind of trying to game plan for them? Because, you know, I'm not quite sure Carey knows from game to game who they're going to use. And so certainly I don't think the opponents do. I think it can work in their favor a little bit.
It could. I do think the same main characters are pretty obvious. I think Matthew Davis is an obvious one. Bobby McGee, Luke Lissette, and for right now, Corey Cook are the fair go-to long inning guys. But the bullpen, mixed bag. You don't know where Andrew Shire is going to fit back in the mix. As Coach said, that he's expecting to bring him back in after some injections to help with the back problem. Who knows? You may see Andrew Shire back in the mix. If he's on, he looks good in practice. That may be that kind of hidden gem thrown in there. Won't know who Carey faces until the bracket is released on Wednesday at 4. We'll tell you the further details about the tournaments coming up when we come back.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, good show for us today. Talked to Coach Hallford earlier. If you missed that interview and you're listening on Super Talk 97.3, you can catch that one on demand in podcast form. To search for Crusader Talk wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, if you do anything other than those. I bet you could still get it, but you are one of the few that use one outside of those four. Some get it on TuneIn. I think I've heard some people that like to use that. Although since they went to the paid platform for a lot of their different content, I don't think many people do it anymore. All that said, great overall showing for William Carey. Neither softball or baseball come away with the tournament titles. Would have been great, but at the same time, baseball knows their situation. They have an automatic bid. They're a host as well. Softball, here's what we know. They have a chance. And if Abraham Baldwin counted this year and everything went the same in the tournament, then they would have an automatic qualifier.
35 or 36 wins, though?
It was, I want to say.
So mid-30 wins.
Let's see.
Probably top 25 RPI. The RPI didn't go down this week.
35, by the way.
35. Top 25 RPI. And also a situation where strength of schedule might be top 10. So, I mean, there's a lot of things working in their favor.
Yeah. And
the name doesn't hurt. The name William Carey carries some weight.
Yeah. Now, granted, didn't pick up any huge wins as far as strength of schedule boosters this week. They did play Middle Georgia twice and played that championship game pretty close. It was a 1-0 decision. They gave up a run in the bottom of the fifth and got the tying run on base and didn't cash in. So, you know, terrific season if it ends right now for Coach Fletcher and company, you know, just coming up short, very similar to what happened a couple years ago. And he hate to hear that, but at the same time, there's an argument to be made. William Carey was second, I believe, in the SSAC standings, whenever they seeded the tournament, behind Thomas. And Thomas went 0-2, took two losses immediately after getting a first-round bye. And so it just comes down to how many at-large teams are there, one, and how many people were upset in the conference tournament to where shoe-ins for a bid are taking at-larges?
Sure.
It's the same thing with basketball on the bubble teams. You start looking at those conference tournaments and seeing who's going to take the automatic qualifier. You hope it's the shoe-in that you expected to get there. So we wait, and that waiting will conclude on Wednesday at 5 o'clock for softball, Wednesday at 4 o'clock for baseball. And if you have not followed how to see the selection show, just go to the NAIA YouTube channel, or you can even go to NAIA.org, and there are links through the different sports pages to the selection show. But You can just go to YouTube. The official channel name, I think, is Play NAIA, but you can just search NAIA and it's usually the first result. And they will premiere a video for each of those selection shows at their respective times. Again, baseball 4 o'clock Central, softball 5 o'clock, both Wednesday. And again, baseball guaranteed in. They're hosting. So you get to see who is in the conference or who is in that opening round for William Carey. If the Crusaders are a one seed, if they're not, they're not going to be the only non-one seed hosting because LC State is going to be a three seed with all likelihood. They're guaranteed to be in, and they're not going to be a one. But all that said, you would be in the same spot you were last year with MacU. That was the one seed last year, and Carey was able to sweep through that regional. They've hosted twice in a row. They've won twice in a row. Now they're coming up on a third year. Could they make it 3 years in a row to Lewiston, Idaho?
Well, that's a big question, and it's certainly been a topic throughout the entire season that this was a group from a on-paper standpoint that had the chance to do just that. You can certainly say that with the results over the past week, that Carey's starting to figure some things out. I think one of the things that brought me the most optimism, if you will, was the most intriguing comment that Coach Hallford made was about hoping to get some guys back, planning on getting some guys back from injury, some guys that have been banged up, to get them back this week. I think it's good to have the week off at this point. For some teams, they want to keep playing. I think for this Carey team, an opportunity to get some rest is needed for this group. There have been some guys that have had a lot of innings, that have played a lot of baseball, and are kind of worn down a little bit. So I think that this break is going to be good. And at home, with crowds being what they are and with Milton Wheeler being what it is for that Carey baseball team, I wouldn't bet against Carey. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. And I think both softball and baseball, good upticks right there towards the end that they don't get the conference tournament championship. Good trend in that direction, especially William Carey baseball pitching with what we saw and hitting for that matter with Bradley Thomas back in the lineup. Maybe he was kind of a spark plug to get some of those runs in that helped William Carey with a 15-5 win over UT Southern, 8-4 over Blue Mountain Christian. A couple of other wins as well on the week as, yeah, Carey makes it to the championship in both softball and baseball. So keep in touch with all the latest and greatest at CareyAthletics.com to figure out where Carey will land if they're in the softball tournament and who will be coming to Hattiesburg. Both baseball and softball opening rounds will begin not this Monday as you listen. They're not happening right now. They will start May the 12th. That'll be day one of the opening round of the NAIA tournaments for both baseball and softball. So mark your calendars for that. Get out to Milton Wheeler Field for those. But until next time, he's Josh West. I'm Caleb Hamill. Until then, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.